Institute. The primary focus of her work is to make the case for violence as a public health issue and to support cities in integrating primary prevention strategies in their efforts to address violence. Prior to Prevention Institute, Sonia worked in microfinance and international development in Haiti.
Morning, everyone. Is that a little too loud? Okay, well, what I want to do today really is to build upon a lot of the ideas that Rachel shared with us this morning and really focus on the city of Oxnard. For the last year, for the first half of the year, we've been working together with them in a community planning effort to really develop a strategic plan that has a comprehensive set of strategies to address youth violence as well as promote positive youth development. Excuse me. Okay, sorry, no relations closed. So the objectives of the session really is to identify the key elements of the community-based collaborative planning process, gain understanding of a continuum of prevention, intervention, and suppression enforcement strategies, and really expand the notion of what we mean when we talk about community engagement. So I just want to give you a little background about Oxnard. Oxnard is a city in Southern California. It's the largest in Ventura County, population a little over 170,000, and over 60% of the community is of Latino origin. The economy is really driven by agriculture as well as manufacturing. Like many cities out there, Oxnard is, you know, dealing with this issue of violence, and in 2003 accounted for at least 41% of all the violent crimes within Ventura County. One of the focuses that Oxnard has been looking at in terms of violence, it has been the gang issue there. And you'll see that in 2003, the Oxnard Police Department recorded a total of 1,443 crimes by 15 different gangs, with 91% of all gang crimes committed by five gangs. And, you know, you have your other domestic violence, property crimes as well. But in response to this, the city has really decided to take a focus on the gangs and, you know, have in put in gang injunctions actually in two areas, and I think they're looking at a third area, and also focused on the graffiti in the community, and they put a lot of money into their anti-tagging unit. But at the same time, because this gang violence issue was very important to the city, they decided that we need to do more and got involved in the California 13 city gang network. And through this, created the Community Action Partnership. And this was really initiated by the city, but involved many members of the community to help inform their efforts. And we, this is the moment that we came in and started to do a little more training for them on what we really mean by prevention, focus on primary prevention. And because of that, what we started was developing, together with the community, CAP, a comprehensive strategic plan that really just goes beyond, includes, you know, your enforcement strategies, but also includes prevention as well as intervention. And this is what, in the end, through this process, we came out with is what we call the Safety Blueprint, the Strategic Action Framework for Empowered and Thriving Youth. And again, it really addresses a continuum of strategies, prevention, intervention, suppression, enforcement, really, and really supported by community engagement, offering that authentic community voice. And with this blueprint, what we're really looking at is not just the individual, but the individual within the context of the social and economic conditions that they're living in. So you see the individual, the families, the schools, and the neighborhoods. And so this is the, we had, you know, we worked with the city for over a period of 6 months, and really this is the idea that we had during our planning process. Is in the beginning, we had some interviews, we did some review of some key documents, which were basically other city plans on gang violence prevention, and then we held three planning meetings, and then eventually what came out of those meetings helped to develop the blueprint. The CAP planning group is a little different because when we talk about community, a lot of times we tend to think of just residents or more grassroots groups. But really, when we're in this planning effort, really when we talk about community, city considered itself part of the community. So the CAP planning group really was made up of different representatives of the city, of the community. And we're talking about, we had city officials like the mayor and the supervisor, city manager, law enforcement was there, school was there, public health was there. We had faith-based organizations as well as community-based organizations, survivor networks, former gang members, youth representatives. And again, what I said, you know, we did a document review of various city plans on gang violence prevention, as well as we did some interviews with key stakeholders, and we did some youth focus groups in two different high schools. And we had our planning group meetings, and we used a consensus building method where things were presented to the group, and the group really worked on reviewing and affirming, and coming to a consensus. This is what they wanted in their blueprint. Had a set of criteria, and then we reviewed. So one of the things before we started the process, we did these different interviews with the youth as well as with different representatives from the city. And what we found from these interviews were that youth really wanted to be able to walk around freely and also be able to wear whatever they want. And lots of times what's happening is, especially with these gang injunctions, you're not allowed to wear a lot of sports paraphernalia because it's seen as associated with gangs. And lots of times when youth are walking around, they're constantly being stopped by gang members and asking where they claim. And another finding we have is that youth join gangs because it fulfilled their unmet needs and it really provided them a sense of safety. And that some of the reasons that people don't join gangs are that strong community and family support, strong relationships, especially there was this emphasis on having a strong adult a role model in their lives, and having some meaningful activities and a sense of hope and future. So during, over the course of 3 months, we did this planning process where we would present the findings from the interviews, and we developed and affirmed the vision and principles, developed objectives, outcome measures, activities along the continuum of prevention, intervention, and suppression. And we had some structural recommendations, which came out into this broad strategic plan. But I don't know, I think a lot of us has heard about this. During the process between our first and second meeting, there was a tragic event in Oxnard where a middle school student was shot by another student in a classroom. And it got nationwide attention. And this really, during this process, it was very interesting because this really hit the group a lot, because during the beginning of this process, it was very, very focused on gangs and what we can do to prevent or intervene in terms of gangs and gang violence. But when this shooting happened, this happened in a middle school that, first of all, was not in an area that's considered high crime or, had a lot of these problems. And also, this was not gang-related, but it had to do with youth. And all of a sudden, the group decided and started thinking that maybe it isn't just about focusing on gangs. Maybe it's more about something is going on. Maybe we need to do some more to actually just support our youth and to develop some environments that are more positive. And so because of this, we decided to shift the focus, and it wasn't only about gang violence now. We were really focused on what we can do to promote positive youth development. They came up with a vision, which is a thriving Oxnard in which all people feel safe and all young people have hope and opportunity, supported by caring adults, strong families, and empowered communities. And, you know, we had a set of shared principles where violence is seen as preventable, and that different strategies, prevention, intervention, and enforcement are all important elements of positive youth development. And community members and youth provide an authentic voice, and diversity is an honored strength. And this is what we came out with in the blueprint. You can see here, here again, you see prevention, intervention, enforcement. What we have here is looking at the individual, family, social, and schools, and neighborhoods, and the different objectives and the different headings that we're looking at. And so you can see that we're hoping that we're more weighted towards the prevention intervention side, and hoping that if we can focus more and more resources and more attention on that side, what we see over in enforcement suppression, we can lessen the burden over there. Some of the outcome measures that we're looking at is academic achievement, graduation rates, perceptions of safety, a decrease in foster out of home placement, truancy rates, all of this. So the next steps right now with Oxnard is we have this blueprint, and they are ready to start implementing, getting a work plan there. So that's the next step. And also, they have also engaged in these learning circles where they really sat down with different communities and try to get their input. And we're trying to figure out how we're going to incorporate that with the findings and what we've developed in the blueprint. But just to end, again, back to the story of the shooting of Larry King. A lot of attention was given on to the victim of the shooting, but at the same time, there was very little attention about the shooter. His name was Brandon McIrney, and one of the things about Brandon himself was that he comes from a home environment where his father shot his mother, where he witnessed a lot of domestic violence, and he was taken out of the home, and he was living in a shelter, as well as Larry King. And I think lots of times this helps to really reinforce the fact that it's not just about intervening after the fact, that we need to do more to really support our youth. We really need to look at more prevention strategies, that things like this won't have to happen again. Thank you.
Next, we will hear from Shannon Frateroli. Shannon is an assistant professor with the Department of Health Policy and Management at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, where she is affiliated with the Center for Injury Research and Policy and the Center for Gun Policy and Research. Her research interests include understanding the role of policy in improving the health of populations, with particular attention to the effects of injury policies, the implementation of public health policies, and the role of advocacy and communities in the policy process.